Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Our series on understanding God's love. So let's all read this together. Ready? Mark 12, 28 through 31. Let's read 1, 2, 3. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." Amen. Well, we've been journeying through an examination of God's love and what God's love means to us, how it is different than our society's concept of love, which there are many concepts of love. We've talked about what God's love for us. What does it mean when God loves us? How is that different than how a parent loves us, or how a spouse loves us, or how we love our football team or our baseball team or any of those things? How is it different? How can we even use those same words, and how difficult are they in muddying the picture of our understanding of what this agape love means? That's what our first week. Then we looked at what it means once we understand how God loves us. That's how we're supposed to love God. Then it didn't stop there. Last week we went on to the hard part, that we're supposed to love our neighbors with agape love. Not just we're kind to them or we're nice to them. With the same type of love that God loves us, we're supposed to love our neighbors. Yep. That was last week. Now this week, it's actually even a little more difficult. Because remember the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Someone this morning said, do unto others before they do unto you. Now, that's not the one I'm talking about. It's do unto others as they would do unto you. How many of you like that statement? You know, Jesus said it. It's a good statement. It's a good statement. Here's the problem. When we really don't love ourselves very much, do we feel that gets us off the hook? Because Jesus said here, you know, here's the second commandment. The great one, the second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if you don't love yourself, does that exempt you from loving your neighbor? It's not a lowest common denominator command. It's important right at the beginning that we understand this is not a lowest common denominator, that you look at how you love yourself, and in fact, that's how you're supposed to love your neighbor. What I want to talk about today is, how are we supposed to love ourselves? Because Jesus is instructing us that we are to love God, we are to love our neighbors, and, everybody say, and, we are to love ourselves the right way. Okay? Jesus is not saying if you have an unhealthy love for yourself, then that's how you're supposed to act towards your neighbor. Why is this important? Because many of us, and boy, I see this in the church all the time, if we want to get honest, many of us try loving our neighbor or doing something for God without really loving ourselves. And when we do that, trust me, we begin to operate in a subtle and very, very intense form of legalism, because we are substituting works for God's grace. When we begin to try to do things for God, when we begin to, if we say, I really don't like myself, I look at myself in the mirror and I don't like what I see, but I have some deep inner wounds that are unresolved, but as long as I can do something for God or for someone else, it makes me feel better, and so I put this band-aid over top of a wound that God is trying to heal. Can I get an amen to that? Because God wants to heal all of our wounds. And if you don't think this happens in the church, brother or sister, I got to tell you that you are naive. It happens to all of us. We hear words from one another and we bring ourselves in agreement with words that hurt, with words that are damaging. And we yield ourselves into a greater agreement with those words than what God says about us. All of us in the room today have been hurt by things that people have said to us. We've all been hurt by things that maybe parent or authority figures or people, as we talked about our very first week, when there are people who should love us or people who represent God and they drop the ball, which everyone does. Does anybody in here not drop the ball? I'm not talking about sports. Even in sports, I'm sure we've all dropped the ball from time to time. But it happens. We drop the ball in how we handle one another, and then a wound occurs. And what happens is if we're not careful, we empower, everybody say empower, those words rather than God's words. How many of you ever had somebody point out a failure in your life? You see, it's funny for me. My wife calls me out on this, and I love her for it, but it also drives me crazy. Because I'll come home, and she'll say, how's your day? And I'll kind of go through things, and you know, did anything good happen kind of thing? Because if I can hear one bad thing and seven good things, and guess which one I stew over? You've been talking to my wife. Okay. Yeah, it is. I'm guilty of that. A lot of us are guilty of that. And if we really want to look as to the why are we like that, it's going to end up with us and God. Many of us, you know, we try to shield ourselves from loving ourselves the way that God loves us. We believe that words from others carry more power in our lives, and we empower them more than we empower God's word in our life. So let's go on here, because I only have 2 points for you today. It's a man. Hamer. I'm remembering that psalm. Okay, if it was an enemy, I could have bore it, but it was you, my close friend. Okay, so the deal is, I only have 2 points, but just for that, Hamer, point one has 5 points. All right. So point one is simply this. It is very, very easy. There are things that hinder us from loving ourselves. Okay, there are some things in your life that will hinder you from loving yourself. And the first thing that will hinder us from loving ourselves is pride. And some of you are like, well, wait a minute, pride is loving yourself. No, pride's loving yourself the wrong way. Because remember how I talked about there are different types of love? If you weren't here with us, you really need to go online and listen. Because the very first week, we broke down different types of love. And there are some of us who love ourselves, but not with agape. We love ourselves like we would, or we're big fans of ourselves. In fact, we inflate ourselves. Look at what Scripture says in Romans chapter 12. Look what Paul writes. And I don't have this on the screen, but listen to this. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone. So does that include everyone? Okay, so he's talking to everyone. Are you part of everyone? Yeah, okay, so he's talking to you. So by the grace given to Paul, he's saying, hey, everyone, do not think more highly than you ought to of yourself, okay? But think, listen to this, but think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So how you think about yourself requires something. Sober judgment. Have you ever seen Star Search? Ever watched that show, Star Search? Isn't that the one where they have the people and they play their auditions and then they all sit there and they kind of make fun of them because they sing really poorly? Is that Star Search? I think it's Star Search. Were they, like Simon, who's that Simon guy? Where all they're like, oh, you were great, you're wonderful. Was that science? American Idol, excuse me. Okay, I'm sorry. Obviously, I don't watch it. Is that 20 years ago? 20 years ago, how many of you watched American Idol? So it's what it is. The gist is that people get up there and they think they're really good singers, or they think they're really good at something, and they get up there and they're like, oh, and everyone tries to be polite, and there's always one jerk who's like, this is the most awful thing, my eardrums are bleeding, you know, and they bust their bubble, and it's kind of rough like that. I mean, that's not nice. But pride is kind of like that. Paul says, look, you need sober judgment. In other words, you need a dose of reality. There are times I think that too highly of myself than I ought. Anyone else in that club, or am I the only member? Yeah. I'll get home, I'm like, man, that was a good sermon. And you're like, you might want to recheck that. I'm sorry, I don't mean to pick on you. It's Jesus' reality. So anyway. So there's sober judgment. Everybody's got sober judgment. But here's the second thing. You need some reality. How you think of yourself also requires faith. It requires faith. Paul writes, look, if you're going to view yourself, don't think yourself more highly, but think with sober judgment, and each according to the measure of faith that God has given. So there are times that you have to look at your life through the eyes of faith. Because get this, I'm not there yet, and I don't think anyone else is there. And when I come into agreement of how I mess up and how I fall and how I don't measure up, I can very easily undercut what God is trying to do in my life. There are so many people who I talk with who do the devil's job for him in tearing themselves down. God loves you. So, the sober judgment has to do with pride. It has to do with vanity. And I understand that there are times that we get out of a reality. Look at Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 27. A dispute also rose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the... Does this sound like a good spiritual conversation? Okay, here's the problem. This had just happened also in Luke chapter 9. The disciples, those people who were walking with Jesus and hearing Jesus' teaching, seeing Jesus do miracles, were guilty of being prideful. In fact, they're having these conversations. It's not the only time that they've had it in 22, also in chapter 9. Hey, I think I'm better than the rest of y'all. Let's just have a discussion. So this happens. And then Jesus says to them, hey guys, look, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as the one who serves. So it is important for us. It is important for us to understand that pride hinders agape love because it replaces it. Pride comes to us, and it is unhealthy. This pride is an egoism. You see, people need to love themselves, but not be in love with themselves, if you know what I mean. You see, when this happens, it's that word, remember we talked about to have a passion for something, okay? To kind of be obsessed with something, okay? Philatos, we talk about being obsessed with something. And that's kind of the word that happens when we are guilty of pride. It is a wrong love. It is an incorrect self-love. And for me, just a little soapbox, one thing that grates on me more than anything, one of the most abrasive things that I see, even within the church, is a prideful person trying to do ministry. It's rough. We all have to watch that, okay? And by the way, this is not an exhaustive list, but pride hinders agape love because it replaces it, and pride has its root in Satan. Remember, Satan said this, I will be like the Most High. Satan was not content in anything that he had, or Lucifer, and he wanted to be in God's position. Can that be the same said about us? And we want to be control of everything. We want to be the one in charge all the time, constantly, 24/7. Boy, I'm talking to myself. Why do you point this out? You'll struggle loving yourself the way that God loves you if you're guilty of pride. Remember, Scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Okay, so that's one side, pride. Let's look at this next side. Comparison. This is actually John 21 instead of John 22. It says when Peter, let me set this up. So Jesus is having a conversation with Peter. Remember that he had had this time where Peter had fallen away. Peter had betrayed, he had denied Jesus three times. And Jesus came back and, hey, do you love me? Do you love me? We talked about that a few weeks ago. And Jesus restores him. And then there's a conversation right after that where, again, they're having this, hey, who's going to be greatest? Who's going to be greatest? And we see that John, in John, we see Peter looking at the apostle John talking with Jesus. And he says this conversation, when Peter saw him, John, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? So let me clarify that. I'm sorry, I just made that a little confusing. Jesus is telling Peter that the death that Peter's going to have to glorify Jesus, and immediately Peter's looking at somebody else. He's saying, what about this guy? And Jesus says, if it's my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? And I have these next three words bold and underlined. Would you please read them with me? You follow me. So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. That's not what Jesus said. It says, Jesus did not say this about him. But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Here's the point I want to make. Comparison causes us to not love ourselves. How many of you have ever been content with something in your life until you saw somebody else had something better? Everything in my life is hunky-dory. I'm just really, really happy. And then I see my neighbor pull in and they have something different. And I need one of those now. Gotta have it. We are the gotta have it society, right? I want you to know that comparison literally pulls us out of loving ourselves the way that God has designed us to love ourselves. Because immediately we look at what's going on in us, we look at what's going on in someone else, and we draw this comparison. Well, God must love them more, or maybe God loves me less. I mean, after all, if God really loved me, 2 weeks ago, I would have had $735 million, right? We laugh about that. There are people who are serious. God told me this is what I need to do. And it's a rough thing, guys. Comparison produces resentment. And that works contrary to agape love. All right? And so Jesus is letting Peter know where this comes from. I mean, he has this conversation that Satan desires to have you and sift you like wheat. When you're getting into this conversation of who's greater, and comparing ourselves one to another. And what about this guy? What's happening? That comes from Satan. I want you to know today, if your eyes are constantly looking at what's going on with everybody else, you are going to miss the tailor-made blessing that God has for you. If you will do what Jesus said, you follow me. Everybody just say that. You follow me. One more time. You follow me. And quit following everybody else and every other whim and what's going on with their life and run your race with God. You will be at the right place at the right time to receive that tailor-made blessing that's made just for you. James chapter 3, 14 through 17. When we don't do that, here's what's produced. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual. Where does that come from? It's demonic. You want to know where this whole comparison thing, me, them, it is demonic. Oh, well, God just loves them more. Really? God loves them? Yeah, well, look at the blessings they have. You know what? When you say that in your heart, what you're forgetting is that God so loved you that he gave his only son. What more could he give than preparing eternity to be with his child whom he loves? That's you, gang. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. I talk to a lot of people lately, and they get all knocked out of sync because of social media. How many of you have ever looked at social media and you think, oh, wow, all they are is they're just always on vacation? I don't like myself. Why? Because, well, look at them. They look beautiful. Every picture of them is perfect, is beautiful. Guess what? It's fake. You want fake news? It's not reality. They don't wake up and say, I'm brushing my teeth. They don't do, that's not, it's not accurate. It is staged, right? It's staged. It is staged when, you know, no one does that. Everybody takes a picture and then looks, oh, I look bad in that. Delete it. I can't let that out. So it's not real. And we see that. Guys, seriously, we view those things and we view snapshots and somehow we think that's reality. And then we judge ourselves and we despise ourselves because it doesn't equal what we see in someone else. Run your own race. Or as Jesus says, you follow me. I just say that to everything now. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Where does it come from? We just found out. It comes envy. It's an enemy of love. It comes from the pit of hell. Satan whispers for you to compare yourself to others and then arrive at this conclusion. God must love them more than he loves me. And if God loves them more than he loves me, then I shouldn't love myself the way. And then that translates in how we love to others. So what do we do? What's the cure? Jesus said, you follow me, run your own race. Here's the third thing that causes us, and this is not an exhaustive list, just the ones that the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to share with you this morning. The third thing that causes us not to love ourselves with agape love is this: the wounds we withhold from God's healing. Now, everybody in this room has wounds. Everybody has been wounded. And some of our wounds, I will grant you, are substantial, they're real, they're valid. I'm not trying to minimize them. In fact, some of our wounds have come at the hands of those who have stood in the position of representing God or representing authority or representing love. And those wounds are the most insidious because they run deep. And if people who should have loved us, in fact, wounded us, and then God says that he loves us, how are we to trust him? It's real. I want you to know this. God wants to heal every single hurt and wound with his agape love. But it is our choice to accept this miraculous, life-changing agape love, and it is our choice to do it daily. You know, guys, there was a time in my life, I've shared this quite openly, I didn't have a father figure for the majority of my young life. And I remember going through seventh grade as a boy. Woo! Great time! Yeah. You have all kinds of changes going around, all kinds of stuff. And I know for me, I felt, oh man, it rubbed on me. I would go to Little League and I would go do things and I always felt out of place. I always felt like I didn't belong. I always struggled with that. I struggled feeling like I never fit in. I never fit in. I don't fit in. And there's those of you here today who can resonate with that. I just don't fit in. And I just wore that like a badge of honor. Just continued to hold that. And it continued to whisper. Satan just continued to whisper in your ear, you know, this and that. And you're never going to be accepted. You're never going to be part. How do I deal with that? For me, that was a wound that I withheld from God because, in honesty, I empowered that wound more than I empowered the Word of God to begin to heal it. See, I believe that God probably did send Jesus. Yeah, I believe that Jesus was divine. Yeah, I believe he could do all those things, but would he do them for me? The only way that I could resonate them, and this will ring with you, if I did enough stuff to prove that I was worthy. Does God really love us? You see, what I had to do is retrain my thought process to be his thought process. I had to begin to say that even other events that spoke into my life and either other voices that spoke things into my life that would say, you can't, you'll never do this, or you are like this, and those were hurtful words. I had to begin to empower. Everybody say empower. God's word over those voices. And that's a choice for all of us. To retrain this thought process. Because Satan loves to tell you who you aren't, but God loves to tell you who you are. And guess what? God made you, God formed you, and God fashioned you. And in my life, God did bring people along to me. His word says, he will be a father to the fathers. He'll literally put people in families. And for me, I resisted that. Me personally, I resisted that. For a good period of my life, a good season. And then once I finally understood that those individuals weren't trying to replace, they were sent by God. A tailor-made blessing from heaven. Life began to click. And I began to realize, you know what? Even though, remember, agape love isn't based in emotion. And there are a lot of us who say, I don't fit. Why? Because I never feel. You know what? Quit worshiping your feelings. There's a time where we walk by faith. See how we set this up at the very beginning? Look at yourself with sober judgment and with faith and begin to empower God's word. Does God love you? Come on now. Really? Come on. Does God love you? Yes. Has He sent Jesus to make you adopted to be part of His family? Yes. Is He holding anything back? No. Those are the things that we empower by faith. So here's what we do. How do we begin to heal these wounds? Well, what does God say about you? Find those things that God says about you, and there's plenty of them in His Word, and then start saying those same things about yourself, even if you have to do them by faith at first. My final point today is this. I get that that's a tall order. We're called to love God. We're called to love our neighbor. And we're called to love ourselves. How do we do this? The same point that we've had for all of our messages, my last point today. God's love heals and frees us so that we can love ourselves. For me, I had to really come to that understanding that it was okay for me to love myself, not be in love with myself, not be a pride and egomaniac, but to know that God loved me and that I needed to start viewing myself as God viewed me, because there's lots of voices that would say, oh, you're weird, oh, you're this, oh, you're that, oh, you're never going to be a part. But there's a voice of God that says, you are part of my family, and I don't make junk. And if that's the truth, that is the voice that can lead us to liberation and deliverance. 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 20. Could you all read this together with me? So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. And this is what I want to give you, every person in the room, to permission to do today, because this is what I had to give myself permission to do. Not having things absence in my life. The only equation that I could solve, you know, doing a math problem, here's how I solve that equation. There's something wrong with me. And here's how God solves that equation. I give you permission to love yourself like I love you. That means we have self-discipline. That means we have self-restraint. That means we have self-respect. I need you to know today that you have permission to love yourself with agape love, and that that love is the most powerful love, and it negates everything else that tries to tear you down. Amen? So perhaps you're here today and you've resonated with a few of the topics that we've discussed. Maybe you constantly recognize that voice of accusation that says you're not part of God's family. Hear me now. You're a child of the King. You are a blood-bought son or daughter of the Most High who loves you and has a good purpose for your life. And no matter what's happened in your past, God has grace for you today. Don't hide from God behind your hurt and behind your fear. Don't be discouraged by comparison of looking what's going on in someone else. Hear the words of Jesus. You follow me. You follow me. And I want you to know that's not a command. That's an invitation. I want you to come with me. I want you to follow me. Let's walk together. I'm here waiting. You follow me. Let's all win.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.